The Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our pastor and teacher, Chris Gordon.
And you see, that's why Paul would come along and say, when Christ came, he showed us how and where that escape was made, at the cross, in fulfillment. That's why the whole Old Testament was pointing us to him. So, Mike, I'll let you comment on that, and then we'll come back to discussing a little bit more how this has played out today in the Christian church.
Well, I think you've said what we need to hear, that the law, it essentially crushes us. It sets God's standard before our eyes so that we can see that God is holy. And that's how important is that for us in worship. When we come into the worship service, we need to know that God is holy. It's interesting that, you know, the historic liturgies of the Christian church in all of the traditions, and going all the way back to the early church, they always had a reading of the law, where you would hear the Ten Commandments or the Sermon on the Mount or some a robust expression of God's law in his word, so that we would know what God requires of us and we would know that we need to be driven to Jesus Christ. But the law in itself, if all we're getting, as you said, Chris, do, if all we're coming to hear on Sunday is get out there, do this, do that, here's 17 principles you need, it'll either drive us to self-righteousness, thinking we've done it, or it'll drive us to despair, because the law itself, hearing commands itself, cannot change the human heart. The law can set boundaries. It shows us where we are to live, how we are to live. I'm not to murder. I'm not to dishonor my parents or those in authority over me. I'm not to commit adultery. I'm not to steal. I'm not to have other gods before the Lord. It sets the boundaries, and to some extent it can restrain, but it cannot produce righteousness in the heart. And Paul makes that point very clearly in Galatians 3 when he said, if a law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. But the law can't give life. It can't change the nature of the human heart. We need the gospel for that. That's what produces in us this righteousness. Not only does God clothe us, impute to us, give us and credit to us Christ's righteousness so that we're right with him, but the Holy Spirit, through hearing the gospel and receiving it by faith, he produces in us this righteousness so that we can live. If we're only hearing the commands, it won't change the human heart. And you know, Chris, there's a humorous story that I can share that illustrates this well. You know, we live here in San Diego. My family, we like to go to the San Diego Zoo quite frequently. We have the passes and all that. And my son is a fanatic for these Malaysian tigers that are there. And every time we go, he wants to go see the tigers first. And one day he went there and had the biggest surprise ever. He sat and he watched this tiger that he sees quite frequently, and suddenly a duck flew into the tiger area. And, you know, the tiger obviously is restrained by these huge walls. It can't hurt us. It can't get to us. But this duck flew into what it thought was just this lush, beautiful part of San Diego. Unbeknownst to him, he was actually in the tiger arena. And the tiger saw the duck. Duck didn't see the tiger. And the tiger goes immediately over to the duck, grabs the thing in its mouth. Kids are cheering, tourists are screaming, feathers are flying, and my son comes home and says, "Dad, it was the greatest thing I ever saw. That this duck became this tiger's lunch." And the point I want to illustrate is that, you know, it's very much like the law. The law can restrain, like those walls that restrain the tiger, but those walls cannot change the tiger from being a tiger. The tiger, because it's at a zoo, didn't look at the duck and say, "Well, you know, I'm civilized now. I'm a zoo tiger. I'm not going to eat this duck that flew into my pen." No, it was still a tiger. And the truth is, the law, it can't change our heart either.
Well, that's really helpful. And a good imagery. You know, it's true. If this were like a boxing match, we're just flat out on the canvas. We're knocked out cold. I mean, this thing puts us down. And I think that's why this is such an important issue for us today. The law is good. The law is righteous. The law is holy. Problem is, we're not. And that's what is being exposed with the law. It's interesting that Paul will even say that when the law is preached in this kind of way, it's actually arousing sin. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like telling my kid, don't eat the cookie. What does he want to do? He wants to eat the cookie. It's because I put a law in front of him. He has a sinful heart. Now he desires it. That's what the law does. And, you know, I think now this gets to Mike a little bit of, you know, why we're engaging this on Abounding Grace and why this is so important today for people to think through. I grew up in a tradition, Mike, where now if we were representing Moses' law, where Moses was, you know, kind of a bad Moses, and we got heavy-handed law every week. It wasn't the kind of stuff maybe you were raised with, Mike, that was law light or a little nicer, kinder, gentler Moses who was a little easier to manage. I got the kind of preaching that just totally leveled me. And there was a strange sort of thing that happened. You're exactly right when you talk about self-righteousness, but there was something in people that liked that. I never could figure that out. But ultimately what it did was left people in their bondage and in their misery. So there was the heavy-handed bad Moses kind of preaching. And in American old, you know, American evangelicalism in America, we've seen a lot of that, a lot of pulpit pounding, angry law preaching that condemns everyone else, that refuses to, you know, in the pulpit, look at its own sin. But it's a miserable kind of bondage that the Apostle Paul described as being under the law. Now, the strange thing is that today we've reacted against the bad Moses, and so we've created a nice Moses. But it's still law. And it still says, well, here's the good news. Here's, you mentioned tips for living. Here's the steps. Here's how you can accomplish it. Here's how you can have a happy life. Here's how you can have your best life now. That's Joel Osteen's book. Here's how you can have all these things to have a happy life. And still, it's left us with the same problem. We've not been given the power to do. We've not, like you mentioned, we don't have change hearts. We're still left dead in trespasses and sins under that kind of preaching. And so this is why we're saying we don't need just nice, lighter Moses. We need a whole different message. We need a whole different word. We need a whole different kind of announcement. And that's why Paul said at the heart of everything that he does, he preaches Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the heart of his message. That's the goal of the preaching. That's the goal of the Christian ministry. And that's something so important to be recovered today.
Right. Absolutely. And please don't get us wrong. You know, for our listeners, we recognize that we need to do things as Christians. I need to love my wife as Christ has loved the church. I need to refrain from all sin and vice. I need to flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, and love. But we only do those things out of the power of the Holy Spirit and the motivation that the gospel gives us. And you're right, Chris, that a lot of times the law is reduced to a sort of nice kind of Moses, where the good news then becomes, here, live this way. Live this way, and then you will be blessed. The problem is that even if you try to lighten the demands of the law, you find at the end of the day, you can't live that way. And you'll either be in despair, or you'll fool yourself, and you'll end up being a self-righteous Pharisee. I love what Ian Murray said. He said that it is true that the consequences of faithful preaching are with God and not with us, but are we sure, and he's talking about preachers here, are we sure that we are making salvation by Christ's righteousness as clear and prominent as it ought to be? Here is the only message truly relevant to the reality of the condition of fallen men and women. Listen to this. Every offer of hope to individuals which is based upon moral education, self-improvement, or religious devotion is an empty hope. So the question is, do we have hope by the gospel that we're hearing each week so that we can then go and do these imperatives, these commands that God gives us in His Word.
Right. Very important. And I'm glad you made that distinction and elaborated on that, Mike. I think maybe a little bit helpful, something that's always impacted me is how Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount. I think it's one of the most misunderstood sermons. But He makes a statement there right at the beginning, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom. So He's looking at what Israel understood to be the pillars of religion. They'd memorized 613 commandments. Outwardly, they wore their phylacteries. They had their nice things on. And Jesus was exposing something there, because as He worked through the sermon, He makes a statement, be perfect as the Heavenly Father is perfect. He was assaulting the religion of the Pharisees. He was assaulting self-confidence, and He was using the law to do that. He was unleashing the full demands of the law, which said, listen, murder is not just the outward act. If you hate in your heart, you've murdered. If you look at a woman, it's not just the physical act of adultery. If you look at a woman, you've committed with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. So Jesus was showing how weighty the law is and how man can't keep that law. And so we understand then when He was saying, listen, enter through the narrow gate, He was giving the call, I'm it. I'm the way. Come to Me. I'm the life. And when people came to Him with a broken and contrite heart, they were freed from those demands that they could never keep. Christ fulfilled it for them. And then what was the way they went forward? Well, I'll let Mike comment on this, but that's why I'm so glad you said, Mike, this doesn't say now we can live any way we want. What this says is that now that I'm free, I can now, by the power of God's Spirit, give myself to live thankfully and live out the implications of this new life in Jesus Christ, born again by the Spirit of God. As Romans 12 says, now that we've been saved by the mercies of God, we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service.
Yeah, I like it put like this. The law tells us, do this and you shall live. The gospel says Christ did it for you. And now as those who are in Christ, when we hear the law, it is, now do this because you live.
So Mike, this leaves us with one kind of last practical question for our listeners. You know, what are you hearing, dear listener? This is a very important question for your Christian life, for your sanctification, for understanding what Jesus has done for you. And Mike, I'll let you comment on that, but we need to think through that today, don't we? It's so important to think through that question.
Absolutely. And I would challenge our listeners to ask yourself, what are you hearing when you go to the worship service at church on Sunday? Are you hearing a message of hope that is based upon moral education, self-improvement, or religious devotion? Is every message you're hearing, every sermon you're hearing about, now read your Bible more, pray more, do this more, do that more? Or are you hearing the person and work of Jesus Christ, Christ crucified for you, raised from the dead, and you're new in Him so that you can live this new life that He has called you to live?
What a wonderful place to end today, and we do want to invite you. We'll come back to this next week again, Mike. Thanks for all the good insight today, and we do invite you to go to our website at agradio.org. There are many resources there for you, and we have all the podcasts there for download, so do please make use of those. We would love to hear from you at Abounding Grace Radio. If these messages are a blessing to you, do please write to us. It encourages us a great deal. Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington 98264. Again, that web address is agradio.org. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.